Yes, honourable members, today we're going to focus on three things, maybe just to indicate that we were also supposed to have today, Bruce today, but we'll be coming next Tuesday due to the logistical arrangements. He will come next Tuesday. And today we're going to have the Independent Police Investigative Director. Members will remember that we indicated last year that as the farm Commission's process unfolds, we will get regular updates from the various health players. We were supposed to get a briefing from ITICS during November, but due to the parliamentary legal-related issues at that stage, we couldn't deal with that presentation. So today we're going to have a presentation from the acting executive director of the ITICS on the implementation of farm supervision recommendations. Furthermore, honourable members will also remember that during the reach of our process, we made a number of recommendations about issues that we want the IP to deal with and ensure that that is addressed. So this morning we will get a progress report on the BRRR recommendations. And thirdly, we also asked for a report on the progress with regard to systemic corruption with SAPS. The Portfolio Committee previously indicated that that should be a focus area. So also the purpose of today's meeting is to get an update on those matters. But I think the most important theme today on the agenda, of course, is going to be the briefing on the implementation of Farm Judicial Commission's recommendations in terms of progress, in terms of any developments with regard to criminal cases, as well as follow-up investigations. Maybe at this stage I'm going to ask the honourable members to introduce themselves, and then I'm going to ask the acting ED to introduce his delegation. I will then start with the honourable members.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Leonard Rakata, I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Dr. Helen Bele, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, and also Ms. Molibatsi, Jasmine Assis, and Ms. Molibatsi, thank you very much. Acting ED, I'll give you an opportunity to introduce your delegation.
Thanks, Chair Hassan, and thanks, honourable members. My name is Israel Kamanyani, Acting Executive Director of ITICS. With me, I'm having next to myself, Dr. Chris Makobotiti, is our PLO, Cape Town. And next to him, we've got Ntate Joe Musimane Khape, he's the PH Northwest. Then, next to Ntate Musimane Khape, we've got Lindelwa Manjanduka, she's our Director of Strategy. Then next to her, we've got Ntate Lopomu, he's the Acting Program 2. Chief Director. At the back, we do have the acting national spokesperson, Ntate Rodira Bravo. Then we've got Ntate Siapua, he's one of the team members who are investigating Marikana. Then we have lastly, Mr. Tawo Tokolo is the provincial head, Western Cape IT office. Thanks very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Acting ED, for the introduction. We will go now to the first presentation, and after that, we will go directly to members for questions. And after that, of course, we will take the second and third one. So the first briefing will be the implementation of the Foreign Judicial Commission's recommendations. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair Patel and honourable members. The presentation is on the briefing to the Portfolio Committee on the implementation of the Parliament Judicial Commission's recommendations. The outline of the presentation, it will entail the purpose, then we have the background, and on the background there we have the Parliament Judicial Commission's recommendations that they're preparing on the IP mandate. Then we have the pre-Palam Judicial Commission IP initial investigations And third, we have the implementation approach to the final judicial recommendations. And fourth, we have a summary of the progress made on implementations of the final recommendations. Then fifth, we have the detailed overview of the progress with regards to the implementations of the final recommendations. Then third, the preliminary outcomes of the investigations and the challenges, lastly, and the conclusion. Under the purpose there, the purpose is to brief the PCP Portfolio Committee on the implementation progress of the Parliament Judicial Commission's recommendations by the IPIT. On the background, the Commission was appointed by the President on the 23rd of August 2012. That date is correct, it's supposed to be 2012 in terms of the proclamation there, proclamation number 50 of 2012. It was to investigate matters of public, national, and international concern arising out of the tragic incident at the Long Mine in Marikana Northwest Province from Saturday the 11th August to Thursday the 16th August 2012, which led to the death of approximately 34 people. There were those who died prior to the 16th. And also there are those who died subsequent to 16. More than 70 people were being injured and approximately 250 people being arrested and damaged and destroyed to property. Then following the release of the Parliament Judicial Commission of Inquiry report, with the findings and the recommendations by the Honorable President on the 25th of June 2015, the IPIT was mandated to implement some of the recommendations that had a bearing on its constitutional and legislative mandate. There are those that will be taken care of by the task team and the panel of experts that has been established by the minister. On the fourth slide, on the next slide there, the two recommendations that have a bearing on the IPIT's mandate are in relation to Chapter 12, the events that occur on Thursday, the 16 August, Section 2, Subsection J, referral and recommendations. It states that it is recommended that for the purposes of the investigations, a team is appointed, headed by a senior state advocate, together with independent experts in the reconstructions of the crime scenes, expert ballistics, forensic pathologist practitioners, and senior investigators from IPIT, and any such further experts as may be necessary. The Commission recommends full investigations under the direction of the Director of Public Prosecutions with a view to ascertain criminal liabilities on the part of members of the subs who were involved in the events Section 1 and Section 2. Then the Chapter 5 of the recommendations there, it says the staffing and the resourcing of the IPH should be reviewed to ensure that it is able to carry out its functions effectively. Honorable Chairperson and members will remember that during the Minister's media briefing that other weekend in Pretoria, he made reference to this particular finding or recommendations. So these recommendations will be taken care of by the panel of experts, international experts that the minister has appointed, but IPIT is going to make an input as far as this particular recommendation is concerned in respect of the starting thereof and the resourcing of the department. The Parliament Judicial Commission, with regards to IPIT's initial investigations, it is important to mention that during the month of August 2012, IPIT commenced with investigations related to the incidents that the Parliament Judicial Commission of Inquiry was mandated to probe. However, as and when we had filled this with the further investigations, it was put on hold to allow the Commission to conclude its business, but also summon as the IPIT to produce documents which were at our disposal to the IPIT in order to assist the Commission to run this course. With regards to the implementation approach, the Parliament Judicial Recommendations, IPTA adopted a project-based approach to the implementations of the recommendations, particularly with regards to the recommendation C4 on the needs of an investigation. The estimated duration of the investigations was 9 months, starting from July 2015 up until March 2016, subject to the complexities of the investigations. And the estimated cost there, it was 5 million, but we didn't get funding as far as this particular cost is concerned. Then what we're doing, we are dealing with this in respect of the savings within the IPTA's budget. The commencement date was the 7th July 2015. I will now hand over to the lead investigator as far as the team is concerned, which is Ntatemo Simenagape, to take us through that particular project plan that was written in respect, drawn in respect of the progress that has been made by the team itself. Then I will just come there during the conclusions and the challenges. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, E. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members. I will start with slide number 10. I think it will reflect slide number 9 in the presentation you have, because there was some movement on the papers. As a recommendation, that there should be an establishment of the task team, the acting executive director, in consultation with National Prosecuting Authority, the National Director of Public Prosecution, as well as now acting National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Pashani. The team was established as per recommendation J4. Let me explain the colors on the presentation is that as we go on, we will establish that there is a blue color. It does reflect that is the month that were identified, the envisaged period of the project from July, as already the ED alluded, until March. And then if we see the green color, it shows that the milestone has been achieved. When we see the yellow color, it means still in progress. As you can see there, in terms of the establishment, it was done. It started on the 7th of July 2015, and in that there was a development of terms of reference and the appointment of 21 task team members. The development and the coaching of the project, as well as the implementation of Judicial Commission recommendation. As we all know that in recommendation, it was that there should be a senior members from ITID. As you can see, number one, Helen there is MJ Musimarihape, who is the provincial head, the chief director of Northwest, is in charge of the investigation, and other team members. In the recommendation, it was also recommended that there should be team of ballistic experts, and in that we have 4 from ballistic. And there was also a recommendation that there should be if we remember very well, there was a concern from the Commission for Section 24 of IPID Act that a certain member may implicate themselves, so we need to have somebody from SAPS. So in that, we came to a conclusion that 2 members from the Hawks, 1 brigadier, as well as 1 colonel, to be inclusive in the team specifically, on the basis of the recommendations. And it was also recommended that there should be a forensic pathologist. So we have the private as well as the state pathologist in the team, the senior counsel from the private site as also recommended. And we have also 5 advocates from National Prosecuting Authority with a senior counsel who is leading the team. So we are all in all 21. So, into, as far as the progress is concerned, in milestone number 2, We went through to study the Foreign Judicial Commission report and gathering the evidence, and in that the trustee managed to compile 22 applicable files in relation to the incident of the 18th and the 16th, as well as the council's incident of the 15th September, though it was not reflected into the report. So we managed to compile 22 files. When I refer to the incident of the 16th, is the one that is referred to in forum recommendation as scene 1 and 2. So in our pre-investigation, we managed to acquaint ourselves with the report in, with the view of gathering the information, and that is resulted into the 22 archival files that I've already referred to. And that was done and it was also compiled and handed to MPA. To MPA for them to peruse them, as well as to give further instructions. In that, we also have an adoption in our vision of the strategy, how we have to approach the investigation. We developed the strategy as well as the approach in terms of the allocation of resources, and we adopted the strategy and focus area was in the incident of the 18 as well as the 16, including the councillor's case. And during our investigations on the 4th of August, the investigation team met with the MPA, the senior councillor there, and during our meeting, we were together with the acting ED. We managed also to hand over 22 archival files to MPA for perusal and further directives, as earlier alluded. On the 6th of August, we held a meeting at IPID head office with SAPS members under leadership of Lieutenant General Mawela, where certain issues of working procedures was discussed, but we couldn't reach consensus. On the 25th and the 26th, the investigation team went to Potisru in order to go and view the videos in relation to and do the analysis in relation to the incidents of marijuana from the 9th to the 16th. And we had an observation there. In our observation, we managed to view the branch, one interview of the witness, the absence of the EVL records, the address of the minors by CTC Northwest, the shooting of scene 1, and we need also to bring to the attention of honorable members that scene 1 is no more in existence because the checks were already erected all over the place there. Scene 2 markings, which appears in the photo but currently is defaced as well. So the investigation also on the 28th of August held a meeting with the leading advocates to discuss the strategy and also to look into other things that we should focus on. So in that we agreed that on the incident of the 18, the responsibility was allocated to one investigator as well as two advocates. And the incident of the 16, which referred to C2, the responsibility was also allocated to one investigator as well as two advocates. In the extraordinary meeting, as we all remember, that there was a recommendation that it should also be investigated.
Is that the meeting where the transcript as well as the minutes disappeared?
Correct. And then in that, also the IO was allocated as well as the two advocates. In the counselor's case, the same thing applies. And then on the 4th of August, we have follow-up meeting at NPA, where we also met with the senior counselor and his team. The important issues were isolated in order to arrange them according to the level of the importance to ensure there is a systematic approach in multidisciplinary investigation. Next. The team started investigation on the 15th related. We started investigation Option 2, with Lieutenant Colonel Botha as well as Captain Saito. They are from local criminal record center in Rustenburg. And that's why we engaged them. We were preparing for the reconstruction of Scene 2 as recommended in the commission. And then on the 16th, the investigation team approached one of the witnesses in the name of Zusa. We mentioned the name was already appearing in the footage in preparation of the reconstruction of Scene 2 in order to assist us to locate other witnesses. We also need to mention that there was one key witness that we managed to identify, and we specify his name there because we saw him during our viewing of the footage in the documentary. And then, unfortunately, the members resigned and went to his place of residence. We make an arrangement to locate him from Burma, but unfortunately, we met with a hostile attitude. He couldn't cooperate. And then the witness refer us to the legal, their legal rep before we can talk to him. We managed to get in contact with one of the advocates who is the legal rep of those witnesses who are referred to, some of them as victims, some of them as witnesses. And he promised us that he will have to convene a meeting with them so that he can allow them to consult with the investigation team. So we have to wait for them to be allowed to consult with us. On the 1st of October, we met again with Captain Mukai in order to go through the drawing of the maps as well as the photographs of Scene 2, because we are preparing in the in-depth for scene reconstruction as recommended. In 21st of August, the investigation team visited the crime scene together with a team of advocates from national prosecuting authority in the view to refresh himself. We also meet with the team of advocates several times there as indicated in the presentation. We also managed to hold a meeting with the ballistic expert under the leadership of Lieutenant Colonel Gota in order to take us through the reconstruction as well as the trajectory done at the scene too. On the 15th of December, the investigation team held a meeting with advocate again. It was just a follow-up meeting. On the 5th of January, the ITI also registered the case file against Major General Nangu for allegedly defeating the ends of justice. We also registered another case against Brigadier Mahlalela for also defeating the ends of justice because she contravened at alleged section 4 of you can go there. She contravened for contravention of section 4 of the Information Act of 1982 because he failed to get the memory stick that was having an information regarding the extraordinary meeting as earlier referred to. What I also not mentioned is that on the 8th of September, the investigation team registered a case for contravention of Section 3, Subsection 2 of the Commission Act, 8 of 1947, against the National Commissioner, as well as the then Provincial Commissioner of Northwest, in that it was in relation to the recommendation as well as the issue of extraordinary meeting. So the case registered, the case already handed to National Prosecuting Authority for their decision of further directives.
So currently, from current investigations, three individuals stated that they are the NPA as Major General Naidu. Was he the scene commander on that?
Major General Naidu was in charge of the groupings of the people who were supposed to attend to the people who were injured. There is someone in the commission where it was mentioned, it was highlighted that why the medical team didn't attend to the people who were injured at Kiluwa. But
as alleged, he decided to divert those groups into where there was also a shooting. And in his case, it is also inclusive that he was the person who was supposed to hand the firearms to IPID for ballistic. He handed all the firearms, but he didn't have his own firearm. Only to find that during the commission, it was revealed that he also shot that. So we opened the case of defeating the head of the police regarding both two matters.
In this case against the brigadier and one against the suspended national.
Correct. Correct, Mr. President. On the threat, it is also need to mention that the investigation is still ongoing and the task team has handled some of the case files that are ready for decision and still awaiting for directives from National Prosecuting Authority. Scene 1 and Scene 2 incidents, which is inclusive in the two appeal files, the one for National Commissioner as well as the then Provincial Commissioner of Northwest. The one for incident of counselor who was shot at on the 15th of August, but she passed on the September. So this, the investigation is still ongoing. The counselor's case, he came back because there were certain things in relation to ballistic, but it was attended to and handed back to NGA. Thank you, Honorable Chairs. And Honorable Members.
Thank you, sir. Happy evening.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Members. There's the report from IPH in respect of the challenge there. We stated that it is worth mentioning that any delays that could be attributed to the investigations are mainly in relation to the hostile attitudes of uncooperative witnesses, which ultimately we managed to engage their defense legal and to start to cooperate with our investigators there. But the other issue, secondly, is in respect of the budgetary constraints. It remains a challenge because we had to do with regards to our own IPID budget, not even getting anything with regards to this unfunded mandate. Despite the above, the investigations are still ongoing and we still do, with the little resources that we are having, try to do more as IPID. Thanks very much.
That is the presentation. Thank you, Edie, Akangidi, and Shabella staff. We will now go to questions. From my side, and then we'll go to the honourable members. Maybe just in terms of the recommendations of the Farm Commission as well as the independence of the investigative team. We've heard the reasons forwarded by the acting ED for involving also SAPS members, but is there a necessity, and I think that will be from the portfolio committee side recommendation, that there should be independent ballistic experts used in the investigation? Can you just get maybe clarity on that matter? And then the issue of the 5 million allocation, it is a big amount in terms of your budget. Will you also be able to ensure that your other strategic objectives are met if you must spend 5 million now on this specific incident? And then one of the issues raised by the judge was the issue of capacity of IPID in terms of executing the mandate. The issue of, for instance, the statements that was initially taken. Did you address that issue of statements at this stage? Although you indicated in your presentation, well, there will be the international expert panel, but have you amended those procedures in line with the recommendations by the judge? Honourable Mulabati.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We appreciate the fact that there are people who where cases were open for that you mentioned. But my question is on the minutes that disappeared, was somebody held accountable for that? And this Mr. Mashaba, is he now off the hook, or what is happening? And on the matter of you, the cases of NPA, that you refer to NPA, do you get updates on them? And if you do, what is the situation? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Abadi. Honorable Rabkevani.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair, and the FT Director of IFA for the presentation. I think that we should, the committee, complement the work done so far. With regard to mapping out and, of course, recording some progress that has already been reported to. I think we should, as a committee, support that kind of work. It goes without saying that you're already suggesting that that work may well be threatened by resources. I think the Chair has already made the point there. I think we would obviously have to follow up on that particular question. But just a quick Chair, on the slide 14, you mentioned the scene 1, that the scene 1 does no longer exist, and you go further to say scene 2, there's already a deviation of the scene 2. But you also talk about the scene reconstructions. So I'm just wondering whether that work that is still has to be done, given the work that has already been done in terms of the scene 1 no longer exists, the facing of scene 2, is it not going to start going to be a barrier to your complete netting out of the scene, of those scene incidents when you reconstruct the case to what happened in that particular time and what the situation or the area is today? And just to indicate whether the non-existence and defacing of it, of course, was in consent with yourself as a people who were mandated to do that kind of investigation. Could you just explain that? Then page 18, you're talking about the charges that you're referring to. And defeating the ends of justice, Naidu, Marcella, and the other case you're talking about the information. About in terms of the commission, it wasn't quite clear what the whole issue about defeating of justice, defeating of ends of justice, whether it's not applicable, because in the big scheme of things, there is no way that information will be cleaned by a junior official without paramilitary structures and operate like that, without the higher authority instructions. So I just wanted to find out, and given that you already have this, I think the file has handed over, you're waiting for the NPA decisions in terms of the charges, the kind of exclusion, I think that sounds to me, maybe you'll have to clarify that the other charges are limited to the information and other charges are kind of broader charges in terms of defeating of the end of justice. If you could just maybe just explain that, particularly around the two, you're talking about the commissioner or that since has retired and suspended the commissioner currently. Those for me reflects limitation. The last one here is this issue about cooperation that you are experiencing and your timeline of completion, given the fact that you had those kind of barriers that slow you down, your time frame to complete the investigation by the time that is stipulated, do you think you are going to be able to do that within that period? Because if there are witnesses and a critical witness, you cannot complete without interviewing them, and that the longer you stretch the resources has already been mentioned. Do you have, having viewed all the footages, including the other one that we've mentioned, you have probably drawn out your list of the front line, the list and pages of the front line on the particular on the 16th of August. If you could just indicate on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you, Chairperson. Just a question from my side, if that's fine, for the first round. My first comment and question is in relation to the composition of the task team. I have a very big concern about the inclusion of the SAPS ballistic experts and crime scene experts to echo the point that the Chairperson alluded to, because one of the findings of the Commission was that the IFES reliance on the ballistic and crime scene experts of SAPS not just compromised but negated independence and impartiality of the IFES investigation. So it seemed to me that the use of the SAPS experts in the field, in this task team, is a replication of a fundamental deficiency that was found by the Commission. In fact, the simple blatant point is that they should not be on that task team. It should be independent, private professionals. So the Chairperson has already asked the question what the possibilities are for going that route. My question I would like to ask is, what was the reason for that? Because it's clearly problematic if one has understood the letter and the spirit of the Commission recommendation in relation to that point. And I certainly understand the importance at a high level for the Acting Commissioner to be part of a liaison mechanism, because you need that authority to facilitate cooperation and to make the whole thing work coherently. But in the actual nuts and bolts of the team that does the investigation, the facts should be nowhere near it. They shouldn't be able to touch it with a 6-foot barge pole. So I'm very concerned about that, and I would just like to know what the reasoning was for that, given that the logic of the Commission findings would have indicated to do anything but to go independent. My second question is in relation to, I have a slide, I think there was slide 14 in the PowerPoint, I think a different number in our hard copy, but it is in relation to the engagement between a team of the different institutions to view the video footage, and that session happened over 25 and 26 August, and I'd just like to know who is keeping that video footage, because I see from the presentation that the viewing happened at the provincial office in Purchase Room, which to me would suggest that that's where they're being stored, and that would be highly problematic. But just for clarity, I would like to know who is keeping that video footage, that is obviously crucial evidence for the investigation. And if there is a SAPS for some bizarre reason, why is that the case? Because again, fundamentally problematic. And then my third question is in relation to the slide 23, I think it is, in relation to the budget constraints, which are understandable because this came up during the course of this financial year, so there was no way to plan for it. But there would have been an opportunity in the run-up to November, and I want to ask if there were any attempts made during that budget adjustment period to improve the resource allocation to SHIP's environments for the work relating to the task team, because I would think that's a fundamental strategic planning issue to use that opportunity to ease the pressure there financially. And then a sub-question linked to that is that I see the investigation is expected to end in March this year, so end of this financial year. But is there a contingent preparation for the work of the task team to be allocated in the coming 2016-17 financial year in case the investigation runs beyond the time frame, which I think is very likely, if issues of hostile witnesses, difficulty tracing witnesses, and other delays have cropped up already. And it's in the nature of, you know, investigative work that there are always variables you can't account for which cause delays. Is there a plan? Is there somebody who has in black and white on a piece of paper made a plan that if we need to go beyond the end of March, we do have the money for the high school to still make this full contribution to the investigation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Good morning also to Honourable Tongu. You're also very much welcome to come in the second round. I've got just an additional question for the first round before we go to the AECC. On page 13 of the presentation, and I want a clarification on that, because the portfolio committee might have to intervene. according to your presentation, sir, you had the meeting on the 6th of August with SAPS, and you're very diplomatic. You say working procedures were discussed, but the end was not reached due to certain technicalities. Now, the question is, the 6th of August is a few months ago. Have you been able to sort out that technicalities? And if it's not sorted out, what assistance do you need from the portfolio committee to get that assistance?
Okay, Chairperson, I think I will deal with some of the questions and my team, they will assist with regards to the others. With regards to that particular last question of the meeting with the SAPS management and the consensus not been agreed on because of technicalities, in actual fact, they are the ones who requested that particular meeting. And it was after we informed that there was a tag team that was established immediately after the release of the Marikana recommendations report. And we said, let's give them a hearing, in the sense of hearing what they want to discuss with regards to us. In actual fact, the issue there, it was in respect of all our operations and our requests that they must go by them, then it's anyways. We are not going to make any request for any, if you want to see any witness, then via through the particular management team. So he ended the text that our act is very clear. If you want somebody, we'll go to that particular person. If you want information, we'll go to request that particular information. If we don't get that particular information, then there is a recourse as far as our act is concerned. So we left it at that. In respect of the contingency for the extension of the operations of the task team, I think it goes without saying that we don't have a choice, but comes through into our budget for 2016-17. We just have to make sure that we adjust and reprioritize our budgets to take care of this particular issue, because for us, it's a priority, and we made those kind of commitments as far as our project plan was concerned with regards to the end date there, not knowing that we'll have those kind of challenges of the cooperative witnesses along the way. So we just have to adjust it, but we'll still have some budgets to take care of that particular issue. But coupled with regards to that, Chairperson, we'll make sure that we don't compromise on the other strategic objectives of the department in respect of our daily operations for all the programs as I did. We'll try to balance the scale that we don't put more efforts on the Marikana recommendations and neglect what we are supposed to do as far as performance is concerned for our department. Okay, dealt with regards to this one. Okay, the meeting with regards to the portrait from video footage, Dr. Musima Nakapu will respond to that. And Dr. Musima Pua, the composition of the task team with the inclusions of subs, forensic aspects there. This one, the circumstances. I know that it's stated in the recommendations that we must use the independent ballistic expert. In actual fact, we wanted to even bring in Ms. Pastiles, who was that we have used during our Katomena investigations there, because we do have, I think, in South Africa only two independent ballistic experts in the name of Mr. Kovas, based in Durban, and Mr. Paul Arans, based in Pretoria, but it goes with costs, but we'll take this into consideration and bring in one of them to come and work with the forensic experts from the police. The only problem is that you will notice that most of them, when you compare their equipment as that one of SAPS. You can't even compare. They are not even coming closer to what SAPS they are having in respect of equipment and how advanced SAPS equipment are. At one stage, I was arrested during the course of the investigations by the commission to look at the particular aspects of roping in. Mr. Paul Maras, I was referred to him. I had meetings with him. He gave me a quotation. The quotation, it was about 300 and something thousand to assist us with regards to those particular cases. And the only problem was the budget and also the access to the equipment that are there at the forensic laboratory labs, because as they were saying, they are not going to allow any independent experts to use their equipment there. So that's the dilemma that we are having. And you go to their homes or offices where they are doing those particular tests, just one machine there, and have some say you can't even compare unless perhaps they allow them access into their buildings there. The issue in respect of the uncooperative witnesses and the time frame are dealt with in that there will be an extension because we never expected that to happen. The issue, okay, with regards to the footages that we are having as IPs other than the ones that I mentioned, my understanding, unfortunately, I was part of that particular investigation as a lead investigator that we started. I was hoping to go and assist there up until we were told to stop that particular investigation, to let the commission to start, and we will continue with investigations there. My understanding was that we were having all the video footage from all the media houses, and we went through all those particular video footages, and the Dawson Rapu will correct me there, but we have all of them. The slight detail in respect of the charges there relates to only the information there. You know, why not leave it in the hands of justice? We have indicated in our presentation that the ARC files and the dockets, the ARC files that were given to the DPP because it's a prosecutorial driven investigations, they are with us all step of the way. So they are studying those particular ARC files together with the dockets. If it comes to their attention that there must be an additional charges, then they will tell us. Then we just have to go back and add that particular charge to those other cases because they are not there for decision. In actual fact, they are studying those other matters. They are giving us instructions. We are following those other instructions. We are one team investigating those other matters. We are not going to concentrate on what the recommendations of the Falun Commission is saying, but if it means that we must expand our scope, that one will do, as long as there was a crime committed. In respect of the resources there, we will do with what we are having at the moment, with what we have at our disposal as IPIT. And some of the matters that are within our control, we are dealing with regards to that, the issue of upskilling of investigators. But as far as capacity and capacity in the form of human resource and the budget for the IPIT, those are out of our control. Unless Treasury comes in, we have lobbied our expansion strategy where we wanted to have full footprint in all our district municipal offices, where we would want to have IPIT offices in all those particular districts around the country. So we are still waiting for the funding of that particular expansion strategy. It was well researched, it was costed, it was signed off by the minister, so it was sent to Treasury. In respect of the Mr. Minister, I think that we should have to deal with regards to that. The cases that they referred to the NPA in progress there, like I'm saying, we are with them all step of the way on a daily basis. We are in contact with them, we are having our regular engagements and the meetings with them. So the progress there, we get it almost on a daily basis. That's when there are issues that they want us to attend to, then they let us know, then we just go there and attend those particular matters. Even last week, I think that was last week, is the whole team of advocates and IP investigators and experts, they were having a meeting in our head office boardroom there at our head office from in the morning up until after last time. Okay, I'm at us. I think that the Musimana Harper will cover. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Can you say you can go ahead? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members. On the issue of, let me deal with this on 1st of Mashaba of the Hook. Honorable Members, Mashaba is not on the Hook. I think in my presentation, there is somewhere, but even though I didn't go through it, that at least by this last Sunday, the rep of witnesses and the victims came back to say, now we are at liberty to meet them. So Mashaba will be met, being sure that we do our job. So it's not yet out. On the disappearance of the minutes, it's true that the case is registered against Brigadier Malatena for contravention of Section 4, Subsection 1B, for Protection of Information Act of 1982, specifically for neglecting and failing to take proper care of memory stick that has the information for that particular meeting in question. The reason for opening this case after consultation with NPA was that, as already Honorable Member also cast a doubt to say, there is no way that a junior person can just throw away certain important things without any. Honestly speaking, we had that suspicions, but we don't have anything. Then the reason was that let's go straight for her, so that if investigation can unravel certain things, then it will be follow up. As already the acting ED alluded to say, the files are with MPA not for decision. They are normally reading, perusing them and give the fair instructions. So it's part and parcel of the progress, as already mentioned, that is there any progress. Has there a lot of meetings? If you check our presentation, the reason is that we meet on progress and the things that they pick it up during the reading and studying of the files. Coming to the issue of slide 14, the scene 1, the non-existence of scene 1. It's true that scene 1 is no more, as there's already buildings around there, and there won't be reconstruction on scene 1, because it's only houses there. But if that as it is, fortunately, hence we meet from time to time with experts who were there at the time of the crime and after that, because there were a lot of chopper was already on there. So, but on scene 2, although it's defaced, it came to our attention during our interaction with a local LCRC, specifically Captain Mukaki, to say they were the one who actually marked those places the time when they were doing photographs. And at the time when they go back there, it was already defaced, but fortunately they were in position to can have the photographs that shows that which one was there. But our last meeting with the National Prosecuting Authority, the one that was referred to by our acting ED, it was actually suggested by National Prosecuting Authority that in order to make sure that we close this hole of the scenes that are already defaced, the expert as well as the scene expert as well as the ballistic expert, they should combine their sketches so that they must able to talk to each other. But be that as it is, as finally agreed, is that we will go back to the crime scene. with the answers of some of the witnesses who can remember, because one of the witnesses that we are looking for, he says he was heading somewhere when he saw somebody raising his hand while the police were shooting at him. So we still have a belief that our reconstruction, given what we have now, it will be possible, though there are things that might not be as they were during the time of the commission of crime. Coming to the issue of general
knowledge. Sorry, just one technical point, just maybe a few, if there's anything that is you know, part of the merits of the specific cases, please don't divulge it to the committee, because it's for the NPI.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And then this one of General Naidu. I don't know whether I kept the question correct, but what I can say is that the defeating is in relation to that issue of non-reporting of him also using his own firearm, as well as the issue of paramedics failing to attend to scene one, as indicated in Honorable Commission. So the issue of Brigadier Malasela, I think I've highlighted it without going deeper, but we have taken note of what the Honorable Member has said. And I don't know whether it's any other one that I left. Yes, the issue of the video footage that we have. Yes, it's true that the acting is that they were having all the videos, but the reason being that when we checked since the start of the commission, from such sites, there was constantly the coordinator who was attending those things of commission. So our view was that we want to make sure that we don't leave anything behind. But even after the view of those footages, we have all things that we view on the in question. That's why I then attest to it. So we have it. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Any other responses from the IPA delegation? Let's go to the second round. Maybe the first issue from my side on page 10 of the presentation. The composition of the task team. Now, of course, your project time frame is large. Of course, there will be extension if need be. But do you've got enough investigators in terms of the current project? For instance, if you look at the number of persons injured as well as the people who were quickly killed at the scene, it's very experienced people, but it's enough people. Don't you need to include also more hands from the provinces? I just want to get that from planning perspective, and then the question of expansion strategy, maybe we can deal with when we deal with the B-R-R, but of course Treasury haven't approved that yet. So in terms of reaching strategic targets and finish this project and extend it, are you confident that it will be handled efficiently? Let's go to the other members on the ball. What about you?
Mine is almost like the work is a definite chance. Are you sure of the quality also of the indicators that they will deliver what you expect from them? And my next one is on this submission that is submitted to the commission. Will it assist to secure the prosecution? Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair, the other one, the small part, stole the follow-up on the first question, scene one and two, the facing of it and the non-existence of it. I just don't quite grasp the response. There is an investigation that has to take place, and Alfred is going to be in charge in terms of that investigation, including mapping out and reconstruction of the scene of incident, which becomes the basis, as a foundational basis, for a case for prosecution. In terms of what actually happened, what was the situation. So the question that I'm asking, the issue of defacing and the issue of you do say that there was a map here and there, but the question that you didn't answer quite clearly is that was it this you didn't know that this is going to happen. You didn't know that the work that is going to be done immediately after that is going to be able to clean the scene, and when you get there, eventually the scene one won't exist, and of course the scene two would have been cased. So I'm asking direct question. Were you aware? Were you consulted on it? Because this thing, it is something that happens within the government of the commissions, and certain thing does not happen. So that's why I'm asking this question, because it is going to be a fundamental question going forward on the case when the case actually goes forward. And then share the issue about the budget and the new financial year. And I do hear that the acting ED talking about they're going to be able to make do with what they have without compromising the kind of work. But in any case, we have a small budget in any case. So the question is whether the submission going forward on towards the relooking at the new budget, this particular priority, as you called it, unfunded mandate, has been taken care of in terms of making sure that there is at least a consideration of amount. Because if you talk about private investigations for ballistic tests, you're talking about different kind of money, which is now not necessarily funded. So clearly there must be a plan to find a fund to make sure that there is a funding that takes place in this case. The last one, Chair. Yes, acting ED, I understand with respect to the issue about amendment and going forward on the matter of cases and so on. But the starting point should be inclusive, not exclusive. If you start with exclusion, then the inclusion becomes a matter of accident later. So because there's just no way that the memory stick is a bottle of water that you buy from Pet Store or Hockey Bazaar or Fruit and Veg. The generation of it, you know, Major General Naidu, as an individual that overnight generate a memory stick with the information. It's a process that evolves set equipment. And the equipment of set is not a privatized one. The system, you have ability, they have ability to look into that system themselves from NASA. So it's a mystery that this memory stick is the only memory stick that nothing else exists. Now, if that is the case, clearly, you can see that there has been clearly instruction to clean. Clean this thing and clean this thing and clean that thing, clean that thing. Going back to that era, reminding us of the old days when there was disappearance of even disappearing people. Here we're talking about people that have bloodline through action, and that information disappears. So, and then you do the charges, you exclude instead of include. I think for me, with respect, I may be quite harsh here, but I'm trying to express my view, how I see the situation as a food for thought for you going forward in terms of some of those issues. Chair, that I think that as a committee, I think inclusion is much better than exclusion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Bailey. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just small comments to make that's been made previously. The one point about the investigation that is very encouraging and very gratifying is that it is that prosecution-led approach, which is proven to be effective in different contexts and to different levels. That causes the echoes of the unfortunately along the lines of scorpions. So we hope that this will yield some really good results. My question, just in relation to the budget issues, I just want to get clarity from the acting ED and his team. Is where those budget costs are primarily for personnel? Is it mainly salaries that we're talking about constraints? Because if that's the case, then the difficulties that ITED has had with recruiting personnel could then underlie some of the difficulties with the funding allocation, or is that mainly operational expenses? So for the team of investigators to travel around, accommodation, and all those kinds of operational expenses, just to get some clarity on that. And then my last question is just on a higher level, maybe, is we know that there are dimensions of the Marikana issue that have political implications. And I just wanted to get the assurance of the acting ED that from the IPED's perspective and role in the task team, can you have the assurance that there's political independence and impartiality of the investigation? And just to check that there's been no political pressure to bear, however subtle or covert, there's no kind of voodoo sort of buzzing around that's making people reluctant to go full force, no fear, no favor, and ensure the integrity of the investigation. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Hongu, are you covered? Thank you, Honourable. Yeah, maybe a couple of from my side as well. Acting ED, I think you still owe me a response from the first round on the issue whether the Parliament recommendation regarding the amendment of the statements form, whether that's been effected and been implemented, that's quite important. And then, again, 70 persons injured, 44 killed in that incident. So currently there's 3 cases from your side. Can we, well, it's early to say, but I mean, can we expect going forward that, of course, there will be more dockets open and more charges? I just want to get an indication. Right, thank you. Acting ED.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I'll start from the bottom up. In respect of the political interference as far as our investigation is concerned, I've never experienced that. We do our investigations independently and impartially without fear or favor as IPED. I only tell people that with IPED, as and when there are allegations and there is a file open, at the end of that public investigations, there has to be a report in the form of whether there is a substance or there is no substance as far as the allegations are concerned, as to whether there was a prima facie case or there was no prima facie case. In all our matters, at the end of the day, there has to be a report. And the report will be out there for everyone to see. In respect of the expenditure, there is both combined for compensation of employees as well as operational costs, covers the salaries of the trustee members as well as the independent experts in the form of your senior counsel states, the senior counsel, the advocate there, as well as your state independent pathologists, and we are also going to rope in the independent forensic experts as the advice of the commission as well as the committee. The issue in respect of the budget, I skipped that, Honorable Bell, I forgot to support with regards to that, but fortunately it was repeated on the second round. During the November adjustment, we made a bid as I did in respect of funding the Marikana Commission investigations to the cabinet. We got the sign off the buy-in of the minister, so it was submitted to cabinet and deliberated on, we got a disapproval letter from cabinet or from National Treasury instead of that, but that won't inhibit us from continuing with regards to our investigations and making sure that we reprioritize and take some savings into from our existing budget. The advice and the consent from Honorable Member Matakane with regards to the inclusion there, vis-à-vis the exclusion, we have taken that advice and been going forward to make sure that we move towards that another direction. We thought that there is nothing wrong with us to keep on adding additional charges as and when there are matters that are coming to our attention, but I think it's advisable that as a start, you start with those, you put everything as when you start, that you don't even exclude whatever. In respect of the the deflating and the non-existence of Section 1, I think that Mr. Manahab will come in there, but I think because we were we investigated an SMN commission status, then we were asked to give the commission the opportunity to run its course up until the end, so we almost stopped everything with the terms of investigations. Then that's when those particular acts were erected into that particular one. We were not given away, we have never consulted. So that's the issue there. And immediately after the commission were done and we had to go back and continue with the investigations, we found ourselves in that particular situation. But I think also the hidden photos and the post-mortem photos, the post-mortems themselves and the experts will be able to assist us with regards to that. We have worked with them previously as far as the Cardona case was concerned. Those parameters had a long time ago and we made use of the hidden photos as well as the post-mortems and the post-mortem photos to reconstruct those parameters, and we made some strides as far as that of the investigation was concerned as I did. So the delay is low, unfortunately, the very same people who did those particular markings are still there within subs, and they are having those particular records in the form of your sketches and your sketches and your photo albums. So we'll be able to get something from the same too. The issue in respect of the severance of the prosecutions, that will depend from the evidence that you are having and the investigations at the end of the day, as and when our investigations unfold, as to whether there will be a prima facie case against whoever to answer on that one. In respect of the quality of investigators, I think the team, we have 7 or 6 of the best within ID, but we have just almost capacitated our NSIT units where we recruited investigators with special skills, and we are having 16. One is written, but it's going to be filled by next month. So almost everyone there, because the staff complement is 17, but we have filled 16 of those particular posts. And I think given the advice that we are getting, we'll rope in those particular NSAIDs or special investigators from the provinces, because we have one per province, one at head office, 2 deputy directors, and there is a director there who's heading that particular team. And also at the moment is the one who I see the Marikana task team investigations. In respect of the expansion strategy, Chairperson, I'll put my head on the block that I'm confident that the strategic objectives won't be compromised and the targets there will be met even though the strategy is still a challenge, and even though the capacitating of the IPs and the resources there is still a challenge. We have made a federal undertaking the last time we were here in respect of the best performance of the preliminary annual report, and from where things are standing now, we have made a lot of strides as far as our task team, which is assisting us with regards to investigations of those particular developments concerned. We are at the moment achieving almost all our strategic objectives as the department under circumstances.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Though I think my acting ED answered almost all, let me go to the issue of the statement. It is correct that the issue of the statement were rectified, and we saw what was the shortcomings there, rectified. And then any more charges or more dockets, there is that possibility as and when the investigation unravels certain things that we might have more charges and more dockets in that respect. The issue of disappearance, I don't know, but I think the ED answered it, and it will be definitely taken care of without any more than that. There was another issue of the submission of our cases to NPA about expectation in terms of the end result. In the reason and expectations, but it will depend on the decision of NPA. I don't know whether is there any other question that we might have over. Yes, the issue of defacing, I think it will be the defacing. It is correct that we never anticipated, and we were not aware or no consulted when the checks were erected around C1, and the facing of phase, I mean scene 2 is the one that already the EPD has said, because fortunately we still have some photos, so we can be able to reconstruct and map up some other things that we really need. I don't know whether there is anything that I
Thank you, Shane. It's a very small technical follow-up. I just wanted to make sure that I understand the wording. When the presentation speaks of registering case files, am I correct in understanding that that's about IPED opening its own internal file for further investigation? When it's finalized, it goes, it either goes to SAPS for disciplinary or the NPA for prosecution. It's not talking about a docket being opened with a SAPS against those members. Am I understanding that correctly?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Man. In IPID, it's correct that we register the files, but some of the files tends to be a case docket. So the case dockets are there. They will immediately open immediately after the commission of an offence. But as the investigation may unravel certain things that we were not initially even aware of, other cases will be registered on the basis of the files that have already been opened. That is correct. Normally I pick register the file. When it goes to SAPS, it has to be a case docket. But already we have the file.
I get the question that the other member has given. We first open the file, and then the file ourselves. We go, once we SAPS and do the file, we ourselves go to the police station and open the case docket ourselves. Not the police will be open by ourselves, and then the file is kept at the office, and then the docket now goes to the NPA and to the court as well. I think we have put together the 12 sort of projects here. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you to the ED and his team for this presentation. Maybe in terms of strategic matters, I think there is indeed progress with the matter, although it's the first report that came to the committee, so we recognise that.
secondly, of course, we understand it's a very difficult case to pursue. It's a very difficult case and it's difficult circumstances, but I think from the portfolio committee side, it's important that the South African Police Service cooperates with ICPT on this one. We also want to call on the acting ED that he must redouble his efforts talking to the legal representatives of those SAPS members, which been indicated, the lady indicated that they work with the ICPT in ensuring that a proper investigation is being done. I think also on the portfolio committee side, we believe it's critical that the following commission recommendations must be implemented. So on terms of independent ballistic expert from the portfolio committee side, no compromise. You must make sure that there is a private, independent ballistic expert to assist to ensure that there's counterbalances in the process. That's critical. Of course, fourthly, ICPT is under scrutiny. It's a business test for oversight of police services, and Marikana is a tragedy that could never happen again. So we must do everything in our power to ensure that we come to the bottom of the matter, address the challenges, ensure that we come with recommendations and first steps that will can ensure that going forward South African Police Service operates within the parameters of the Constitution, of course, and also the SAPS Act, but also that public order policing must get its rightful place in terms of the relevant prescripts and protocols. So we will, at the end of May, beginning June, again, course, I went to the committee to give further progress reports. But I think it's important, if there's any challenges experienced from the role players within the cluster, please alert us, and we as portfolio committee will ensure that the necessary proactive steps are done to get those support. So thank you very much for that. We will go now to the second item of the day, and that will be the report on systemic corruption within SAPS, the current progress. Remember, colleagues, honourable members, we raised during the interval of process, but also last year, we indicated that there should be more efforts made to ensure that this area of the confidence of the ICO is expanded. So today is to get an update on those request and to really interrogate whether this did progress. Because remember, we have in the past recognized the successes of DPCR in ensuring that corrupt police are brought to book. So today is really a follow-up to get an understanding of what is ICO currently doing in that process. Acting ED, as you mean.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. The next presentation is to the briefing the Portfolio Committee on Police or System Corruption. The outline of the presentation is a very short one, it's an introduction, training and reporting arrangements on the systemic corruption, the summary of investigations of systemic corruption cases, total case load, case workload, the status of cases SX 28 January 2016. The mandate in respect of systemic corruption comes from informed by Section 28(2) of the IPT Act, Act number 1 of 2011, which states that the Directorate may investigate matters relating to systemic corruption involving the police with regards to 28(1) 1A up until H. Those particular matters are the must. So this one is the May. The IP system corruption strategy, we came up with the strategy in 2013, which defines the systemic corruption as stated there. Until recently, there has been no dedicated structure that exists for investigations of the systemic corruption matters. Despite its complex nature and social and economic impact it has on our society, we relied on our general investigators within the provinces who deal with those particular matters up until in 2014-15. Then there was a national specialized investigation team and said that was established and is related to investigations of systemic corruptions within SARS and MTS. And NSAID has a staff complement of 17 investigators. We are going to get 4 this financial year, and I think the last phase of capacitating and service the following financial year 17-18, where they will get 5, then that will be done with regards to that. And the latest status there, like indicated in the previous presentation, that we have filled 16. It's only one principal investigator which was re-advertised for Northwest with the closing date of the 22nd of January 2016. The recruitment and selection of that particular post is underway. With regards to the structure there, you have your director in fit, who is reporting to the chief director of investigations and information management. We have your two deputy directors there. We've got a male and a female. We've got your principal investigators, head office, two and five provincial PIs reporting to one DD, and three principal investigators, head office, and four provincial reporting to a DD. As the manager has established this particular team, I think their idea was to have all of them based at the office. Honorable members, then immediately after I came in, because the nine that was intended to be appointed last year, were supposed to be NSAID members responsible for provinces. Then one per province but based at the office. So I said, no, if it was meant that these people, they will oversee provinces, they will go to provinces. So I redirected those other people to provinces. As I'm speaking here now, we've got one per province. Then the rest of them, they are at head offices, but we then leave into a stand going forward. The planning and reporting on systemic corruption is there. From 2012-18 up until 15-16, since the inception of IPIT, coming from ICD, systemic corruption cases have been registered on and the reports generated from the electronic case management system, which is the IP Centric system. In 2013-14, the directorate produced two indicators under the budget program 2, which is investigations and information management, to measure its performance through the annual performance plan. And those particular indicators, we indicated one there, the number of systemic corruption cases identified and referred for approval. So each province is expected to identify one case per year for that particular province, and the number of systemic corruption cases that are decision ready, and complete that particular matter which was identified comes the following year. Honorable members and chairperson will remember that the investigations of the systemic corruption matters, the usual investigations, is not the ones for the ordinary corruption matter. There is a pattern in the system where you have even to monitor and use your intelligence capacity there, which as IPs we don't have. We now rely on the foreign intelligence as well as your SSA intelligence, but we are in the process of getting our own expertise for people with that particular capacity as and when we recruit those particular people. Even with regards to the recruit of new ACID members, we make sure that we balance the two. The one with the background of intelligence and the one and the person must have the background as far as corruption matters are concerned. I will hand over to Dr. Komo to talk to the statistical report of systemic corruption matters of IPIT, but I'm going to ask him to possibly zoom into the totals there and those ones with the higher number and the lowest numbers. Thanks very much, Dr. Homo.
Thank you, Mr. Homo.
Thank you, Mr. Sir. The sum of the investigation of extreme corruption between 2013 and 2016 and 2015. The graduates are for the people of 33 systemic corruption cases. Out of the 6 cases registered, 56 cases were identified in 2013. The portrayal that were registered in 2013-14, 5 during 2015, and in the third case is during reverse of HLS. Of the 30 cases in HIPAA, 14 cases are still active, while 7 cases are decision ready and 9 are closed. There is a one note of change between the period 2012 to 2013 and 2016. That's the 18 ADS directed. We have got provinces that have registered a higher number of cases and those which have registered less cases. For instance, the district has registered between the period 2012 to 2016 7 cases. The Northern Cape has registered a total of 6 for the same period. Western Cape did not register any cases during the period mentioned. And Northwest registered only 1 case. The rest are in between. The nature of the system of actual cases as at 28 January 2016. We have one small state giving a total of 7 cases. I will take into account the active cases that are trained, the slow strain, it's got only 1 decision ready. The open case has got 3 active cases, did not close any case, and it has got 1 decision ready case. The same will apply here with open cases, giving no case at all, and Northwest giving only 1 case as well. That will be the last presentation for this presentation.
Thank you for the report. I have 3 questions. The one thing that's missing from that is your prosecution success. How many court cases have been referred to the NPA? Also, your systemic corruption strategy. I think we've asked that document last year. So I think ED, we need that document to deal with, to look at it. What is your approach? If you look at the stats, and that's my concern, and that's why it's important that you come to the committee today, Western Cape 000. Now, if you look at those arrests by SAPS of the Arrow police, Belwell, DPCI, other high ranking SMS members last year, and the question of selling of buckets, we really need strategy from IPED side to deal with this. So I think that is maybe the responses I need acting ED. The strategy, prosecutions, and also ensuring that each province focuses on their core business. Let's go to the members. Honourable Malabatsi.
Yes, Deputy Chairperson. In the previous year, there was this police boat truck that was used for personal use in Gauteng. Can you tell us, in fact, let me say, did you investigate the case? And if it did, what is the situation? My second question is, do you have incidents where your own investigators collude with such members on certain cases? And my third one is, where there is less or none of the cases registered, do you attribute that to good work from yourself, or is it because you are not known in that area as well?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just when you say on the slides that ready for decision, what do you actually mean by that? Case ready for this decision. Is it ready for decision in terms of to prosecute, in terms of the NPA? What do you mean by that? Number two, Chair, is this. What does it mean for Western Cape not to have 0000? What does it reflect? Certainly, because it cannot be a reflection of the non-systemic corruption existence. If you just follow what has happened in the first one, maybe the issue about the internal thing or the focus.
And how, what are you going to do to change that kind of situation going forward on that one? The third one in the impacts, maybe the last now on this round, is what are the collaborative efforts that you have put in place as a plan, particularly when you're dealing with the crime intelligence, when you talk about the intelligence, because with your capacity currently and resource, it may take a while before that particular skills is in-house. And also particularly because the technological space that you have maybe in other agencies currently may help you to make that kind of leap forward. If you look at ability of the horse currently, so that I'm trying to find out what are the collaborative effort in terms of that particular space to celebration for me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I think similar to the question asked by the chairperson was I wanted to ask of those 9 closed cases, how many resulted in successful convictions? But then linked to the question around identification of the cases, is there any link between the identified cases, this set of 30, and the findings of that last criminality audit in the SAPS? That found at least 1,448 criminal cops who were still in the police service. And if so, do you have the all updated figure of what that figure might be now? Because it would be a terrible shame to have the opportunity of failing to connect the dots between those findings and what you've picked up here from the perspective of your own mandate. My second question is whether these cases relate mainly to procurement and supply chain fraud and corruption in the SAPS, or is there another aspect to them that I'm not thinking might relate to systemic corruption? And then the third question is whether there's perhaps been in the analysis of the broad trend of the cases, if there's been any identified reason for why the bulk, and from my account, it's just more than half of these cases are in just 2 of provinces, Free State and Northern Cape, because identifying those sort of the findings of that trend analysis might give us some more insights as to where the focus and
going forward. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Honourable Songwood. No, thanks. No, Jefferson, I'm just a bit worried because if I look at the series, particularly with regard to KZN, it would look like KZN is just a holy place when one knows very well that there's a lot of corruption within members of the force there. Many, many, many than what the eye can actually even get. Of course, if you remember, the DCI were totally made of. I don't know whether then these deaths even talk to that. We've got members in Kipland who were caught supplying weapons to communities of Kipland, killing people. I don't know whether this thing. We have got Phoenix, as even confirmed by the Acting Commission. Now, when you are putting a stand like this, it tells me that when one is dealing, it was in the dealing of a place in heaven. Again, if you look into the statistics of Mpumala, I don't know, Mr. Chairman, because we are told that IP is dealing with corruption of the police. I know that, for example, that the number of police were found to be used by a multinational, I don't know whether from US, to monitor and protect this great company as private security company. No? You see, just to give numbers, just for the sake of numbers, I don't really understand that it will help the purpose of this. Jefferson, that is my main worry. But number 2, if the mandate of IB is Jefferson is to deal with corruption, because this is a multi-dimensional mandate, where do they link with DPCI? Because there is no way here by them. They talk of their own in-house capacity, and there is no collaboration stated between them and DPCI. If realities like that, I think it will ever be a lamenting body. I will never achieve this goal, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Member. I think Ed and your team, can you please respond to the first round?
Okay, with regards to the first question and the strategy there, it started, it was effective from, if I remember well, April 2013, and we are just going to review it for different from 1st of April 2016. So we send it immediately when we are back at our office. I think even last week or the other week we had a particular document, we spoke about it, even with regards to the need for renewal of that particular strategy. But we send it immediately when we are back. The issue of the successes there, we didn't unpack our presentation as far as the convictions and the convictions are concerned as far as the last slide that deals with the completed matters or the decisionary matters. We'll also provide the committee with that particular information just to take it and indicate how. Yes. We'll do the chairperson. The matter in respect of the other matters, Mr. Pomo will respond in respect of that. But in respect of the decision rate, previously, okay, during ICD, we think we have finalized the matter. Then came, we changed from that term to the completion of the matter. Now, during the term, we have changed from the completion of the matter to the decision rate matter. We thought of going the route of subs instead of the trial ready matters. But with regards to that particular term, the catch is that we will do the investigations, we will finalize and do the report as far as we are concerned as IPM. We hand the report, both reports, departmental and criminal, to subs and to NDPP or to DPP to decide on the matter. So even where we will say there is no case against the subs member, there's nothing stopping the DPP from saying I prosecute on the matter. So that's the reason why we say this is ready, because all our matters, when I'm looking for negative recommendation, we send it to DPP. And same goes to subs in the sense that those particular calls that were sent to them, they are not conclusive. They still have to apply their mind on those particular recommendations. And with regards to the Western Cape, that's the reason why I brought in the provincial head, Western Cape, that each and every time, as and when I tell them about the seriousness and the accountability of myself on their behalf to this particular committee in respect of this particular reports, then they will know what do I mean with regards to that. Then they will respond as far as the steps for Western Cape is concerned. But I think the only problem there, it was in respect of the understanding or the misunderstanding of what is expected of them. I clarified that with them. Now we are on the same page as far as what do we mean with regards to identification of the systemic corruption matters. The collaboration there with regards to other agencies in respect of your crime intelligence and your SSA, we have started that provincially and nationally. What we just have to finalize already, we do have an MOU in existence that we have just signed with the SSA nationally. So we are in the process of coming with the MOU and finalizing it, assisted by the civilian secretariat there with the DPCI, the HOCS. So that MOU will also even cover this particular issue, because you'll find that there is an overlapping as far as our mandates are concerned. They do have the mandate in respect of investigation of corruption matters. So also I picked, we do have that particular mandate with regards to the investigations of corruption matters. So we just have to agree in respect of which matters must be, will be
refers to IP to David, which matters should stay with the DPCI, and which matters we just have to do joint investigations, because there's nothing precluding us from really doing that. The other agencies that we still have to sign, there is a draft MOU there, it's your SARS and it's your SIU. So we just have to finalize on those particular matters. Legal services are taking care of those particular matters of finalization of the MOUs with these other institutions. IP is having its own figures as far as the subs convicted members are concerned. We have our own number. Subs do have their own figure. As to whether it takes care of the IP dual, I'm not sure. But I think it does, because at the end of the day, when the docket is finalized, the IP docket is finalized at court, we take that the docket to subs and they update it on the system. So automatically it gives them that particular information with regards to the convicted subs numbers and all of those things. So we keep on leaving updating the subs card system with regards to the progress of the investigations of the case docket. And this is our own case management system, which is our own cross-centric in respect of our file. In respect of the analysis of why only Free State and Northern Cape, we haven't done that. We can still zoom into that, but like I said with regards to the Western Cape, it was just an issue of a misunderstanding. So Northern Cape and Free State, I think they understood it better than any other province as to what is expected of them as far as the identification of systemic corruption matters are concerned. And in respect of the KZN's test, the Honorable Member Yari, with regards to yourself, I think the future will improve as far as the KZN is concerned, and same goes to your Western Cape. And that's it, Tobolo, and that's all.
I just want to bring the attention to one of the members how IPC worked prior to the establishment of this systemic corruption. We have been investigating corruption cases, particularly the Philippine corruption matter. There are not cases that we have been investigating, but as normal corruption cases. So, and they are successful in those, in all other provinces. The only challenge though that the community explains is our collection provinces somehow missed the police. They seem conducting some preliminary legal allegations of corruption here and there, where it's one more than one, so specifically. But then they seem to be at home. It's only how you explain to them actually that please, as and when you get information of a particular type of a systemic or organized crime, report it immediately, register a system and whether or not. Time will show that it should mature into a system in question, but then we would have conducted a preliminary investigation. So that is now that we are at the time that there are some, a number of other things from the Western Cape and Kateko and Mpoko and Pumalanga that they address before the end of this financial year. We would have given us those keys because they do have those. In this we believe that with the establishment of NCIS, that I'm heading the president, we have got a diverse capacity in NCIS. We have got those that are coming from specialized mission staff that we have recruited, including the NCIS director who's for content engineering. And someone in Brazil, who comes in. We intend to make use of IT knowledge to assist. And other focus that we'll be having is to have joint investigations with both outside intelligence and the ELHOPS. Kadula as port of entry. We're targeted the Bura Sambo, we're targeted the Rizutu, Mateo, Kakabar, Basio, Express, they bridge in Nipobo, and Nipobo, but I didn't know. But we know currently that the case is going on from the point of Kadula, from the distance. So we are in the process of interacting with those colleagues to push her down all over the world, so the police are teaching the other and the traffic in the same rooms. And in this, we also intend to have a thing so informal, because currently I did not use informal, so we get the case to start from the police. So the first question is going to be, we can't be able to do this, we must initiate our own investigation. And then that now will warrant that we do have a informal. So we have already got to the RAPT on the informal network. So we tend to have it implemented by the Castle of Imperial Management Center. So then last we will try to, whatever we can, we'll do them our own. But even if it's a bigger project that we will not have capacity, we will work with our colleagues from Writing Center, Virtual Culture Center, from the DCI, and as well from the FIU, where we have capacity. But I'm confident that we will definitely be able to reach our office. Thank you.
At this stage, I'm going to take 12 minutes tea break. Tea is ready. Then we'll come back to the response with the cap, and I've got also some further questions on the responses. So let's take a 12 minute tea break. Thank you. Other members?
Thank you. Right, thank you very much.
much, honorable members. Coming back from the tea break, we're going to resume. I think we broke up with the iPad was still in control, and I think the Western State provincial government was the form of anything else. The Western State provincial is going to address us.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I think with regard to the challenges in the Western Cape, as already alluded by the acting Executive Director, we indeed had cases, but our approach was quite different from what the National Office was doing. We identified cases, we did preliminary investigations, and when we found out that there is no substance in that, we were not putting them on the system. But after some deliberations, we are pursuing cases that are speaking with regard to the main corruptions, and that will be registered on the system. So for the past years, we will be having those type of cases. And the other aspect that we have identified as a problem is that normally the station commanders report cases of corruption to DGCI. They were not in contact directly to IP. So I think with our engagement and with our relations, we will be getting those some of the cases that have been reported directly to us as contacts that they've been doing, that has been the practice in the province. And individually, for members of staff that have got corruption-related cases, we have investigated those cases, so it was only on the issues of cases that are systemic in nature. Thank you, Chairperson.
Right, Honourable members, we'll go to the second round. Honourable Malabashi,
I think it's good to hear from the Western Cape that they are doing something, that they were doing it differently. I was tempted to ask why were you doing it differently if you have an integrated structure that is of national, but let me leave that, but just ask you, in terms of now that you have agreed on this, you have a number in your head about the cases of corruption or the kind of systemic corruption in the police that you already now, outside of this report, have that you're following up.
Yes,
mine is a follow up on the very one that Honorable Ramatakane is speaking of. You say you had cases that nearly registered. Now my question is, what happened to them? Did you just throw them away and pretend they never existed, or what? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bailey.
Thank you, Chief. It's one follow up, and then I want to repeat two of my questions that weren't answered previously. The follow-up was to ask, the acting ED had mentioned that they have their own figure of criminal costs. If you could just share that with the committee, it would just be interesting to know what that is. And then in the last round, I just asked how many of those 9 closed cases had resulted in successful convictions. I hope I didn't miss the answer if it was given. And then my other question was whether there was an an identified link between the systemic corruption cases and the identified cops from the criminality audits, and then lastly, if the cases in the load of 30 relate mainly to procurement and supply chain fraud and corruption or offences of a different kind. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, in order to avoid conflicting positions between IPIT and DPCI, can I be briefed? I understand that DPCI, the level of investigation of cases starts with certain schedules. Are you also investigating the same schedules that DPCI deals with? If then that is the case, how are you going to subdivide those things? Because really, I think that's where the problem, if I guess, even from the head from Western Cape, the problem is in other areas whereby there is an overlapping of duties between DPCI and IPIT. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of the committee's recommendations regarding the capacitation of your investigators is to investigate the international qualifications. Have
we
started on this or what?
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'd like to see you start your presentation on that today, next week, on the training. Next week. Yeah, and maybe three observations from my side, listening to the presentation. I think it's clear that your updated document on systemic corruption is an urgent attention. We need a copy of that, because if there's confusion from some provincial heads on what is the exact meaning and process, it means also your official piece must be amended, so that there is operational clarity. So if you need that, I think you need that, that's critical. You know, we can't have any mistakes on that. The second issue is observation. Mr. Holm, I'm just a bit concerned. This mentioning of all these corporations with institutions within SAPS. Now, once again, I think this independent must act aligned with the IPAD Act. So if this corporation, there must be clear OUs, there must be clear guidelines, there must be clear blue water in yourselves and SAPS and those institutions. So I think it's critical, I think you need, when you come back to the community, you need assurances that in this corporation there is indeed the necessary memorandums of understanding in place to ensure that the independence of IPAD is ensured at all times. So there's not learning of roles. That's for us very, very critical. So if we can just get, and maybe it's also very good that the thematic project should be launched on a national basis. The target specific areas, we mentioned the issue of the selling of dockers. I think from the portfolio committee side, it would be very good. If IPAD can focus on two or three themes per financial year, that might be part of your strategic objectives. Because otherwise, it's the responses you got this morning, this progress will register this or that. So it's a firm recommendation for this committee. There must be in your new APP going forward the identification of those themes that would address the issue of systemic corruption. Acting any on your team can respond.
Okay,
Mr.
Chairperson, we have taken note of the last advice or comment from the chairperson. We think it's going forward to include this particular identified teams in our APP. Instead of the IPD independence, instead of collaborating with other agencies, I've indicated that we are in the process of having this particular MOU in place in the form of your DPCI, your crime intelligence will be one of them, your SSA, your SIU, your I think your SARS is one of them, and some of them we have analyzed on those, but some are both legal services from institutions. Yeah, dealing with those particular matters. With regards to the strategy, the updated one will be
to the full committee and as agreed, and we'll make sure that each and every province, each and every staff member, we are on the same page as far as understanding what is expected of us. The issue in respect of the sharing the information with regards to the convicted subs members will do that, send that kind of information to the committee as requested by the member, by honorable member. We'll share that information with the PCP. Then the issue with regards to the convictions on the closed matters as presented earlier, we responded to that particular question indicating that we didn't separate or put it into breakdown as far as those particular matters are concerned. We just said those matters, but we'll go back and come back with the breakdown with regards to as and when we add to the closed matters, how many were resulted into conditions, how many resulted into acquittals, and all those things. That information we do have, we'll come back with that particular information. I think the other members will deal with regards to, there was an issue with regards to the tow truck. I don't know whether the Terraburab or Dr. Bismalakak will deal with that particular matter. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, I will deal two specific questions related to the Western Cape. The question of the, are there any cases that you are following at the moment? Yes, there are drug-related cases that you are following where members of the staff are allegedly involved in with gang activities within the province. So, but unfortunately, I'm not going to mention the stations, but we are following those cases. And the second question is with regard to what happened to the cases that you identified. For example, one of the cases that was identified by Western Cape, it was an incident that happened in Gauteng. And after we have followed that matter up, we forwarded Gauteng and our MCs that in the case of the so-called smear corruption, where licensing of firearms within a particular police station in Gauteng was involved. And we handed over that case to Gauteng so that it could be registered, not that we were just. Then the other case that we're following was the issue of withdrawals of one particular individual in the Southern Cape, where he was a regular committing misconduct regularly, and then we could not understand every time the gift cases go to court and they were being withdrawn. And when we followed up, it was simply because witnesses voluntarily, when the cases were ready and they were not ready to continue any longer. So those are the, some of the examples that we've been doing as a province. So the only challenge was only with regard to the registration, because we were doing preliminary investigations before we registered them. We did identify them, but on part of registering and giving them our CCN numbers, we were waiting to check whether this case has got the potential for us to get the prosecution. I think that's where the Western Cape is in that particular area.
Right, other responses?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Related to the question on tow truck, honorable members, I don't know if you mentioned this, maybe it has been something, but I don't know what the other colleagues' information is, we have for one year forward. In as far as a coalition between our youth interest and when you say kids or type of directors members, there's no information like that. There's no kid in the city in as far as this allegation is perfected, but no information like that. Okay, that's what it is. The question raised by other questions by one member of Songbook pertaining to overlapping. We do have one issue that is a mandate in corruption. Now to give a systemic corruption strategy, but now my date is giving you that issue of corruption in as far as systemic corruption is concerned. So indeed, EPCI also in the decision. So the consultation is the other end. So, but our mandate is finished, only the members of the staff and the engineers for the public. So, there are many questions of the consultation. As you said that, we spoke in a lot of a number of other things. Where will be 20 institutions with the EPCI or staff, EPCI and the decision? Then if we limited our roles, our role would be to continue on the position that is supposed to sort of be what is a property for anyone. So we began to be mindful of that. We can't be crossing the same way as well as we spend. One of them, I think that the case you raised about social media, you can describe those things also. Maybe you can just be better than you did, right?
Yes, no, it was just to ask whether the it was to ask whether most of the cases in systemic corruption were relating to procurement and supply chain corruption or other sort of corruption issues.
I think from what we see is that when we respond to some of the people that we ask we didn't have information as well. What is the sort of action that we have to do? Thank you very much.
Are you covered, sir?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I was just trying to make follow-up on the issue of the truck, because it's how they must. So I was waiting for Mr. Ablavo to come in. Thank you,
Chairperson. Chairperson and Honorable Member.
That particular case was not investigated by IFP, but as far as I know, it was investigated by SAPS themselves. And criminally, I don't know if it was investigated, but I know that departmentally they were actually taking care of it. I just spoke to one of the generals that used to be in Gauteng. It's a national matter, so we're not sure what happened to the outcome of that matter, but he's still following up on that.
Thank you. We will like to report in on that. Any other matter before we go to presentation 3? All members covered are there to be given recommendations and we'll await those information we've requested. Additionally, again, the issue of systemic corruption is important for the area of IPED and we need to ensure that improvement. Right, we go now to presentation 3, which has got to do with the responses to the VRR report of the portfolio committee as well as the AG.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I think this presentation will be dealt with by our Director of Strategy. She has been overseeing the submission and making sure that we stick to the timelines that were given by the portfolio committee. But from the first month, immediately after we returned back to our offices, we made sure that each and every month we responded to the BRRR reports as per the request of the portfolio committee. I will hand over to Melindelwa and Mjanduka to take us through the presentations. But all in all, Jefferson, there was a number of actions required when they were 18, and I paid responders to those particular 18 out of 18, so it was 100% compliance, even though some of the matters we just have to keep on updating the report on a monthly basis and when we respond to the portfolio committee. That's the question.
Did members receive a copy? I don't have a copy of this presentation, the one that's on the screen.
Note that we did not circulate the presentation, but it's a consolidated summary of all of our submissions. We will make it available.
Because there's three other documents that's containing the bulk of the presentation that was made available. So this is an executive summary.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. What about
it? I'm sorry enough to say that only we must get the presentation before you come so that we go through it.
Yeah, I think the protocol is well established. Dustin has tabled that the committee must go through the secretariat of the portfolio committee. So we want to ask the ED and the PLO just to adhere to that protocol at the start of the parliamentary year, rightly going to the presentation.
Okay, my apologies, Chairperson, with regards to that. My understanding is that everything was sent to the portfolio committee, including our training plan, as per the request, because the presentation is coupled with the particular training plan, as per the request.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the next slide, it's an outline of the presentation. We will provide the members with a high-level summary of our submission status, and we'll also zoom into the detailed report in terms of how we have responded to the committee's recommended actions. And as a way of concluding the presentation, we'll highlight our monthly as well as quarterly reporting obligations to the committee. Moving to the next slide, in terms of the actions required, we were expected to respond to 18 issues, and we have so far responded to those. Our first submission was made on the 20th of October, sorry, on the 30th of October, followed by the 20th of November, as well as 28 January. In terms of our monthly reporting obligations, we were expected to respond to the committee with regard to our implementation of the findings of the AG as contained in the AG's report. In terms of the quarterly obligations, we're expected to report to the committee on our financial statements, that is the first for all the financial quarterly expenditure reports. And we started making our submission on the 28th of November with regard to the first and second quarter expenditure report, where we outlined our budget expenditure against the allocation. Then in terms of the monthly obligations, so far we have responded to the committee's recommendations with regard to the financial expenditure, the AG action plans in the identified areas, as well as we've recently updated the committee with regard to our agency status report. Moving to the next slide, the first reporting matter was with regard to the AG findings. Particularly with regard to address the action plans to address the repeat findings made by the AG on material statements, including action steps and time frames. Since we left the committee, October Finance has organized training for staff with regard to the processes as well as the content of the financial statement, particularly in terms of improving the quality of the audit financial disclosure note, and we're hoping that we will see the results since the training was organized in December. By the time we submit our financial statements going forward, we're hoping to see improvements in that regard, particularly also with regard to the standard approach for reporting on our financials. With regard to monthly progress report, please go to the previous slide. Also, the training also covers the concerns regarding the monthly progress report and actions taken as per the action plan together with the financial target achieved. Regarding the financial target achieved in our first quarter as well as second quarter financial report, we outlined to the committee that our expenditure, our expected spending was at 25%, again actual spending of 22% for quarter one. And in our quarter expenditure report, we reported our actual spending of 2 million, which amounts to 48%, but the expectation was that by the end of quarter we were going to spend about 50% of our budget. The next headquarter report that we'll submit to the committee will provide a consolidated report of our expenditure up to the 31st of January. Moving to the next slide, with regard to the action plan to address the situation within the IT environment, in our first round of response to the committee, we submitted a costed ICT project plan. Unfortunately, that plan has not been funded. It details out all the key areas that IPIT would like to address in order to make sure that we have a viable IT environment. Unfortunately, we are unable to implement that plan due to lack of funding. As well as with regard to deficiencies within internal audit, in our report we attached the internal audit action plan together with all the implementation progress reports regarding addressing all the AG findings. Up to date, there has been progress in all the key identified areas, and we'll continue updating the committee with regard to the progress regarding the implementation of that particular plan.
On the issue of addressing deficiencies within risk management, we started reviewing our strategic risk in 15-16, as well as we have started developing our strategic risk for the next financial year in 16-17. And parallel to those processes is to also address our operational environment in terms of developing the operational risk register for implementation in 16-17. Moving to the next slide, on quarterly expenditure report, the obligation that we had was to submit the report on the 20th of November, which we did, and the third quarter report will be submitted to the committee upon finalization of the consolidation processes, hopefully before the end of this month. But in terms, again, of the expenditure in the allocated budget for quarter one, we're sitting at close to 25%, quarter two, we're sitting at, in terms of the actual expenditure, at 8%, but once when we submit our third quarter report, we provide the committee with both the consolidated expenditure trends for both quarter one up to quarter three. With regard to actually trying to address variances in quarterly expenditure and bring it in line with the benchmark set by January, also in our submissions on the 20th of November, we indicated the progress so far, and this is coupled to the training, coupled with the training that was provided to the affected staff within the finance unit. With regard to the action plan, the filling of funded vacancies within the directorate, especially the vacancies within investigation and information management unit, in our submission in October, we provided a report with regard to our planned approach to filling of vacant posts. Our report ends at 31st January. Indicates that there were 49 funded vacant posts within IPIT, and of those posts, we have filled so far up to 12 posts, and 11 posts, which constitute about 10% of the funded vacant posts, they are undergoing the process of advertisement, and we're waiting for results for approximately 10 posts, and of the 10 posts, to one of those, we are undergoing the process of verification, of verifying the qualifications. Again, about 10% of the 49 posts, that is about 11 of those posts, they are undergoing shortlisting processes, and we've been screening about 5 candidates. So far, the total of 49 funded vacant posts, all of these posts are in the process of being filled, while some have already been filled. Moving to the next slide, with regard to a breakdown of the recipients of performance bonuses for 12, 13, and 14, and 14, 15, together with the amount, salary bands, and posts, in our first submission to the committee, we provided a report on the 30th of October with a list of all the employees that received bonuses for the 13, 14 financial year, together with the 14, as well as the 14, 15 financial year, sorry, 13, 14. We also indicated in our report that is undergoing the performance review processes for awarding of bonuses for the 14-15 cycle, and we will inform the committee of the progress once we finish that process. With regard to the City Forum building lease contract, we indicated to the committee in our first submission that the letter is the Department of Public Works, and on the 25th of January there was a court proceedings that Public Works appeared in, and we're waiting for Public Works to give us the outcome of those proceedings, particularly with regard to the date on which IPIT would be expected to vacate the offices in the City Forum building. We contacted Public Works, and they indicated that they are also waiting for the outcome of the process. We will inform the committee once we receive return notification from Public Works, but we thought that we should indicate that there were court proceedings that took place on the 25th of January. Moving to the next slide, regarding the station lectures to create awareness on police professionalization, in our next submission to the committee, we provided a list of planned of our planned involvement in station lectures, and indeed we did take part in the station lectures that were held in Northern Cape as well as Eastern Cape. Where the main focus of our involvement was on creating awareness on IPIT mandate, and in Eastern Cape, part of those station lectures involved attendance by sub members who are alleged to be involved in four cases, wherein we try to promote the importance of using a human rights approach to policing. But mainly our focus has been on the mandate as well as trying to acquaint the staff members about their obligation with regard to the IPED Act as well as the proper ways of conducting policing. And in our plans for 2016-17, we have also included indicators and targets that will ensure that IPED continues to take part in the station lecture through the awareness campaigns that we're doing in the police stations. We have that target in our 2016-17 ATP. Moving forward, with regard to leakages of statistical information, particularly with the breakdown of all Section 28 cases, we did provide a report to the Portfolio Committee of all the cases that we have dealt with, and we've also identified the increasing trends with regard to the cases that IP has dealt with, particularly in the area of assault and torture as well as other related matters. And we continue updating the committee with regard to our plans in addressing the trends that we have identified. And this issue will be covered in the last bullet point that we have responded to. With regard to training, the main concern was to provide progress report the development of an independent qualification for IPED investigators. In our first response to the committee, we indicated that there were 99 case workers and chief analysts who were transferred from RCG to IPED, and as such, in 2012, a total of 58 officials were trained at N2F level 5 on resolving of crime, and this was followed by a total of 40 officials who attended further training in the form of a national diploma. And IPED in that process was in partnership with SACSUSHA in terms of rolling out the training. Further to that, we've also indicated to the committee that investigators were sent for basic investigative training in PAL, and IPED has entered into an agreement with SAPS Human Resource Department in order for us to take our investigators for a basic course on crime resolving, which is envisaged to finished by April 2016. And at the institutional level as well, IPED has conducted training to a total of 40 staff members, and we're in the process of we have entered into an agreement with the National School of Government in terms of making sure that we expedite our training needs and requirements. Moving to the next slide. The reporting data on torture cases, we were expected to provide an analysis of the significant increase in torture cases during 2014-15 compared to 2012-13, and also in the report we expected to include the number of cases that we have registered to date. To date, we have reported that in 2012-13, we IP received a total number of 50 cases, and the cases have been increasing. In 13-14, we registered 878, as well as in 15-15, we registered 73 cases. With regard to assault cases, we have registered the intake of 4,131 cases in 2015, and although the figures have been decreasing, they've been decreasing at a very low rate. In 2014, we received 3,916 cases, and in 2014-15, we've received 2,711 cases. Part of our engagement with the committee in October, we indicated that we plan to undertake a scientific study in terms of conducting trend analysis of both torture and assault cases in order to for the study to inform us of the factors that result in the high number of case intake in these areas, as well as to be able, when we're developing our strategies, to respond accordingly in terms of how best can IPED execute its mandate in promoting a human rights approach. But that study will be included in the 2016-17 plan for implementation in the next financial year. That takes us directly to the end of the presentation, but as a way of reiterating, we will continue to honor our obligations to respond to our quarterly as well as monthly reporting obligations to the committee, and we will provide the committee with the outcome of the 14-15 performance review, as well as update the committee on the outcome of the Ready Forum lease agreement later. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much for the detail of the report and also the answers. I think from the Provider Committee side, we welcome the approach of the department. It's a good example for other departments how to respond to the B2R recommendations. So we look forward to the Secretariat coming to us very soon on this. So thank you very much for that. We also noted the detailed annexes. Members, if there's anything from your side, Honourable Mulabasi.
Thank you, Chairman.
this crime solving course, where are you going to use it? Which crime are you talking about? What are you going to resolve? Thank you.
I think that I must follow in your footsteps just to thank the detailed presentation. I think it's refreshing to listen that 18 concerns dealt with in detail, the way that has been reported. What we'll, of course, watch closely is the next report as going to be the 31st of March, whether the fruits will be seen at what we see presented then. I don't think that I don't want to get into qualifications about it. The 49 posts that you say are in the process of being filled in terms of your report, how many exactly, when you say in the process, are already being filled, and what is outstanding in that now?
Thank you, Chair. I wasn't able to retain all the details that were given, unfortunately, in the presentation, so I'm sorry if I sound as though I've missed anything. I just wanted to get an update on, previously the committee had had an engagement around the point of graduate recruitment by the IFIT as one measure to boost skills capacity, on a short-term contract basis, and we also had been given information last year about, I'm not sure if it was an MOU or a partnership that the IFIT has with some universities, just to get an update on what progress or where things are at in relation to using graduates and expanding those partnerships with universities, in particular because with those trend analyses that were mentioned in the last one or two slides to be done, that's where your sort of research brains come in handy to look at the data, break it down, connect the dots, find the trends, and I think that'll come in handy for much of the work of IPS going forward. I think the acting Eve will have noticed that I often ask questions around what trend analysis is, because it's actually those insights that will inform the planning of the work going forward, but they also answer a lot of questions that help you to resolve the problems that you are that you're addressing. So if you have those brains on board, and the natural go-to post for me would be graduates who have just come out of a couple of years of research work, will help you make major strides with relatively little hassle and admin if you take them on a short-term contract basis. They get some good experience and some stipends, and you get the benefits of their individual skills. Thank you.
Maybe just one question from my side. If you look through the three annexes, in terms of administration and so on, completed, implemented, but if we go to the core business, Program 2, rules and Program 3, it's partially implemented, not verified. And I see cases within 72 hours, core issues. We don't want any surprises in the AR. So, acting ED, can you please just give in terms of the energy on that? Is there your progress or is it still a work in progress?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. In respect of Program 2, 2013-14. 1415 annual report, I think the situation it was bad, and even high it, that the performance, it was not poor, but it was dismal. As far as the IPIT program was concerned, and we made a commitment to this portfolio committee that the situation would be different comes 2016 financial year or annual report. We are monitoring our performance as the department, and we have
also establish a task team that is assisting those provinces that are struggling with regards to the workload or the backlog cases. And we started that four months back, and that particular task team's results just starting to bear results in the sense that by December we have attained almost all our targets as far as program 2 is concerned. It was only on two matters where we were at 48 instead of 50 and 40 something instead of 50. So we are confident that comes the end of the financial year we'll have made some strides as far as that particular program is concerned. But also the other programs, the 2 and 3 and 4, they are on board with regards to their targets. What is important also is in respect of our budget spending patterns. Honourable members, they will remember that in respect of the previous financial year, annual report, that for the first quarter we spent 6%, the second quarter 6%, the third quarter 6%, comes the fourth quarter 60%. And Honourable Ramadlagan has a problem with the student. I have made sure that for this particular financial year, just like our reports indicate, that we have spent more or less 25% for each and every quarter there, meaning that we are on par with the rest of our consistent spending of our budget. You won't even see the spike comes the end of the financial year there. The issue of the vacancies, we have prioritized that because that's where we are lacking as IP in respect of that particular issue. We have prioritized that most of the posts now, they are filled if not advertised. Only those that were not advertised, you'll find that the people they have just left last month, possibly 2 or 3, but not more than 5. So also that one we have prioritized. The issue in respect of our training plan that we had, it was costed for the previous financial year. We are lacking behind in respect of that chairperson. Mostly because our MOU with NC, they couldn't move with regards to that particular issue up until we have signed the MOU. So we only managed to sign the particular MOU with the DG during November month. So we are catching up as far as implementation of the particular plan is concerned. The issue with regards to that was raised appears there with regards to the city forum and our contingency plan. Chairperson, you remember that this matter has been at court since we started 2010, and on the 25th of January this year, there was a court order that we must vacate the building. IP must vacate the building, but we'll only do that after the Department of Public Works, they found us an alternative building. So that's what they are dealing with, even yesterday they have got some communication from Public Works as far as this particular issue is concerned. But the settlement between the two parties, it has been converted into a court order. The issue in respect of, okay, then resolving is the basic detective course for training. Previously they were calling it the basic detective course. Now they have changed and they are calling it crime resolving. The rock, so that's where your entry level investigators will be expected to attend that training. It's the basic where you will find that all the investigators are expected to go to that particular training. Okay, I think I'll try to respond to some of the issues, unless if there is something that I just missed.
You have pretty much covered all the with regard to the breakdown of 49 funded vacant posts, to the specific in our report, it indicates that the number of posts filled in February is 12. That is, the number of employees who joined IPT as of 1st February is 12. The number of posts that have been advertised is 11. The number of posts awaiting SACA results is 8. And for one post, we
basic legal competency assessment is with regard to the director of investigation. And for another post, to be busy verifying the qualification with the South African Qualifications Authority. The number of posts undergoing shortlisting processes is 11. And the number of posts for which we base screening or we are already in the process of holding interviews is 5. That's making a total of 49 vacant posts. So there are different stages of the recruitment and selection processes. Then with regard to the response to Honorable Mbele's question regarding the learnership program, we have prioritized the issue of learnership. In our APD for 15-16, that is the current financial year, our target was to ensure that we absorb 12 learners. And maybe the AD can speak further on the recruitment of graduate learners, but the issue of learnership is always, we have prioritized it in our planning. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other responses? Members? Anything follow-ups? Anything else? Right. Thank you. I think for this report, of course, we will look at it from an analysis point of view in collaboration with the three NSGs and also further reports that we forward to the committee. But again, as I said, the proof in the pudding is in the new AR. That will be tabled at the end of the year whether those issues raised by the AGM as well as the committee have been addressed satisfactorily. So, honourable members, we come to the end of this meeting. Next Tuesday, we will reconvene. Remember, one of the focus areas this year is again the issue of the professionalisation of the police. So, we will have a briefing from SAT as well as the DPCI on the training programme. We've also invited the trade unions as well as some academics in terms of whether the current curriculum of SAPS in dealing with training is actually speaking to the future music that we see in the NDT as well as the Back to Basics. So next week that will be a focus area. But again, we also will have Mr. David Bruce, who was supposed to come today, but we will have him next week, one of the contributors during the Farm Commission, and he was also recently appointed as one of the experts in terms of the ministerial group, so he will also be presenting his input on public order policing next week, Tuesday. So thank you very much, members, for your contribution. Also, thank you very much to IPET and other role players in the present. It's been there for closing.
No, 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 no,